Welcome back, folks. We reviewed an article in the Wall Street Journal the other day, and it's entitled "A Tiny Company is Vouching for Risky Insurers in Hurricane Country." And in the article, it points out that insurers are using the differences between raters, and there's four of them for the most part: Demotech, AM Best, S&P Global, and Kroll. And Demotech is the subject of this article, where the insurers are using the differences between the raters to their advantage, shopping around to get the best score. One may give this company A a C plus, another one may give them an A. And they are marketed as A-rated insurance companies. But what is the truth? And has this led to the climate that we have with homeowners insurance in Louisiana, Florida, so many other states that Demotech is involved in, and is it misleading? Ben Albright, CEO of the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of Louisiana Independent Agents Service Corporation, joins us. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Noel.
Ben, it was an interesting article, but from my view, very troubling. As to, what is the matrix? What are the analytics? What is the standard that we're judging these companies by financially? And it seems as though Demotech is more willing in catastrophe-prone geography to give higher ratings, which kind of runs contrary to that, because if there's a storm and you get hit and you have losses, how do you pay them off?
Sure, and I understand the concern, and certainly I share some of that, but I do think it's important to see some context around this. The framing of the article was kind of around, as you described rightly, that the companies were shopping around between these different raters to find the one that suits them best, which there may be a little bit of that going on, but frankly, what a lot of it is that the larger rating companies, AM Best and S&P, being the two big ones, they're unwilling to rate small companies. They will only give a rating to larger companies with more experience that they can have more data on and those kinds of things. And unfortunately, there are not enough of those doing business in Louisiana to support the entirety of the market. And so if you ask me, would I prefer an AM Best A-rated company to a Demotech A-rated company? Absolutely. I would take the AM Best rating. I think that is more, it says more about the company's financial statement than a Demotech company's rating does. But we don't have the luxury of doing that because then there would be not enough insurance in the state to cover all of the people. And so it's a little bit, unfortunately, of a beggars can't be choosers situation, and we must rely on some Demotech companies.
Well, I get that, but wouldn't there be an interest on the part of the state to set a baseline as to the criteria, the matrix, the analytics that are used of the finances of these, a lot of which are startup companies? They're paying themselves pretty nice salaries. They're beginning their operations. They have a nice office, maybe a building or two, but they don't have any reserves and they don't have
Sure.
any money.
So there
And so
are some
how do you get
requirements.
a how do you get an A? It's
Yeah.
like
And
because they
certainly I would say that the most damning part to me of that article was the fact that some number of companies were not downgraded from an A until a week in some cases before they went insolvent. And obviously that's not good. And I think even Demotech would probably tell you that that was a failure on their part and that they need to do better. And I would certainly agree with that. I would say that the Department of Insurance, by statute, does have some minimum requirements that insurers have to have. They have to have at least $10 million in assets, and they have to have their reinsurance treaty stress test. And let's be honest, $10 million in assets for a homeowner's insurer is not much money. So it's not like that can, give you great comfort, but it does mean that the ownership at least has some significant skin in the game. The reinsurance stress testing is really the key component here because in any of these smaller homeowners companies, and that's what the Demotech companies are, they tend to be the smaller ones. As I said before, AM Best rates the really big ones, and that's where you get a really good, comfortable situation, but we don't have enough of those. So these smaller ones are always going to rely very heavily on reinsurance. They have less assets, which can be okay if you have a really good reinsurance treaty. Unfortunately, buying reinsurance is a little bit more of an art than a science. It's not like buying insurance on your house where you just buy up to the limit, because the losses are more complicated than that. So, you know, you may buy up to a certain amount for the first storm, and then up to a certain amount for a second storm, and then up to a certain amount for a third storm, or third and further. And, you know, so maybe you bought enough for the first two storms, but you were unlucky and had three storms in 1 year, and suddenly you're left bare. And unfortunately, that is a lot of what happened in Laura, Delta, Zeta, Ida. As you know, we had several storms in 1 year, which really tested reinsurance. And that's when these requirements for the department to start stress testing reinsurance treaties for these small companies came into being, because we found that they were deficient and we didn't necessarily know that in advance.
So, Ben, let me put you on the spot for a second, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So $10 million in assets. Let's say you pass the reinsurance stress test with flying colors. These criteria set forth by the state, is that an A?
So it may be, but frankly, anyone that is operating in the state must have those things. And there are some people that operate in the state that do not have an A. There are people that have lower scores than that. As the article said, not that many. It tends to be that if a company is going to get below an A, they choose not to take the rating, right? They choose to just go unrated and, you know, not have a lower grade.
Because it would seem to me typically what the state sets out is a minimum standard.
Correct.
They're not putting out their A standards, right? Because if they were putting out A standards, AM Best and S&P Global would probably rate them.
Sure. Well, and so, I guess that's true to some degree, but
you see the conflict that I'm having, you know, I mean,
the state
knows this is going on. I mean, you know, and we're using it as a marketing tool, and we're giving people a false sense of security by saying, you know, and they really believe I'm with an A-rated company. Until there are claims. I mean, you know, the one thing that always drove me crazy is, I think it's, and I don't know whether or not we're testing this, I doubt that we are, is concentration. So how many homeowners policies do I have in a small geographic area, right?
Right.
And I'm really betting on storm tracks at that point. Because if the storm goes into that area and I'm heavily concentrated there, I am screwed.
Well, but that's exactly what the reinsurance stress testing is. That's what I mean by stress testing. They essentially run computer models that say, based off of the policies that you have in force, if this happened, if exactly Hurricane Ida were to hit today, what would happen to your reinsurance and your capital on hand? If, you know, a bigger storm were to hit, if, you know, God forbid Hurricane Katrina were to happen again today, what would happen to your reinsurance? And look, the business of insurance is taking on risk, and these smaller companies, there's always going to be more of a risk of insolvency. And so that's why I say I would prefer to have, you know, the big names. You know, Travelers Insurance is a top five writer of homeowners insurance in most states in the country. They do not do business here because it's too risky. And so because big companies like that refuse to do business here because of the high levels of risk, we have to rely on these smaller companies. And so the reinsurance stress testing basically says, if these certain things happen, this is how the reinsurance would respond and they would be okay. But there is always going to be a point where a reinsurance treaty would not be sufficient, and you can't expect them to, you know, they can't buy infinite reinsurance. They have to pay for the amount that they buy. So nobody buys reinsurance to have four Hurricane Katrinas hit in 1 year. And obviously that's, you know, a hyperbolic example, but there is always some level where there is going to be a risk of insolvency with these smaller companies that you don't have with the larger companies. So long term, I would love to attract these big companies back to Louisiana, but that's going to take a significant amount of reform to our systems, because they just refuse to play in a risky environment with difficult litigation that we have seen after storm after storm after storm.
So And the analysts that are used, one of the other things that was interesting to me is that, like, Demotech has about 450 companies that they're rating. They have five analysts, right? Which is about 90 companies per analyst. AM Best is about 26 analysts per company that they have. You know, I mean, there's so many other criteria that you look at. I mean, Demotech, the entire company, has 18 employees. And yet they are rating the riskiest insurance companies out there. It all sounds like a farce to me. I mean, it just, there's not a single piece of criteria by which one would judge by. If you were an investor and you were going to invest, you know, this is a company you wouldn't invest in because they are an outlier to the industry in many respects. Is that an unfair characterization?
I guess I would argue with you a little bit on that. I would say that they are an outlier. You're right there in that they don't service the kind of mainstream business. In insurance parlance, I would compare this a little bit to admitted companies versus surplus lines companies. You know, a surplus company, they handle the riskiest business. They do not operate similarly to an admitted company, but it is a legitimate business model. It's just they're working on more difficult stuff, more risk. There's more risk involved in the investment for the investor, but you also have potentially a greater, you know, return on the investment because you're taking on more risk. You have the potential for more return. And that's kind of the space that Demotech operates in, so to speak, that they are not, you know, your kind of Main Street insurance companies that are in, you know, 47 states in the country that they write most of the business. They tend to look at these coastal states specifically that are served by a different market. And it's still important that we rate those. And I think that Demotech serves an important role in that case. Certainly, I would like them to do better. I think that it's unacceptable for you to have an A-rated company that then goes bankrupt, you know, 7 days later. And I hope that they have implemented some procedures to improve on that. But I do think that they're a legitimate company that serves a legitimate and important role in our insurance ecosystem.
Yeah, because part of the problem with that is 3 days of them going before they go insolvent, you have agents marketing that insurance company and actually signing policies, right?
Right.
And I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a real transparency that's going on here because the regulators have known for months that this company's gone insolvent. And they're relying on statements of the owners saying that they're going to recapitalize the company. Demotech admittedly says they rely on the principals of the company that tell them that they have additional capital and they're going to recapitalize the company. And that's why they leave the A rating on the company, but they don't get any evidence of saying they don't have a letter of intent. They don't have anything.
Yeah, and they said that that's what they did, and that's why they still rated it an A in the, you know, week before. That's the kind of thing that I'm saying. I hope and I believe that they have improved those processes.
But Ben, not to be argumentative. You've been around
sure.
A long time. That is not a best business practice from any perspective of any business model. If you are a rater, and you are selling to the public your analysis of a company, right? Do you rely on the principals of the company saying, oh, we're recapitalizing, and you don't ask for any other evidence?
And I think that that's a question of timing to some extent, Noel, because that was in the weeks after the storm. They were saying, we're going to recapitalize and we're going to get this. So just wait and we'll show you this. So don't downgrade us right now. And you can make an argument that they waited too long. And I think certainly I would make that argument. And I think Demotech probably would admit that at this point. But realistically, you know, they have a difficult job. They don't get the transparency that the regulator does, and the regulator is not allowed to communicate that because you don't want to run on the bank. Same as the FDIC. If they start to see that a bank is in trouble, they're not going to start to say, hey, this bank is in trouble, because then people start pulling their funds. It works exactly the same with an insurance company. If they're on the bubble, the Department of Insurance is not going to say these guys are on the bubble, because then people start canceling their policies, and that will make the company insolvent. And so it's exactly the same principle. And so it is a difficult job. And I agree with you that they did a poor job in some of those instances. But I do think it's also worth noting, in that article, it shows that it's something like 1.6% of their ratings they got wrong, essentially. Now, I think it should be better than that, but that's not a horrible average. It's not like they've been wrong on more than 50% of their chances, and, you know, they're just throwing darts at the board and hoping that.
Yeah, but that's not a fair characterization, because they never did an analysis. Wall Street Journal, that is, never did an analysis of when they were right and when they were wrong in the aftermath of a storm. Because the stress level that you're actually testing is their ability to pay claims, not whether, you know, they didn't look at and they didn't take out of the sphere those insurance companies that got hit with no catastrophic losses in a particular year. You know, when you recalculate that sphere of, you know, testing their ability to pay claims when they were, a storm that was hitting their insureds and their ability to pay these claims, their ability to hire adjusters, their ability to respond to the insureds, that wasn't included in there. And that's where the rubber meets the road. I mean, you read these horror stories that are, you know, people are
a little bit there, Noel.
They're broke, these insureds. I mean, their lives are forever ruined. There's no way for them to come out. And, you know, the handoff to the guarantee fund, and it's not only a problem in this state, it's a problem in every state, is sloppy at best. I mean,
and
really
that's
sloppy.
Absolutely true. The guarantee fund, it's a difficult position for them to be put in, because they have to take over these policies with no notice, and, you know, they're trying to get into the data files of a now defunct company. It's absolutely a disaster, and it should not happen, and we need to do everything we can to prevent it. My only point is that what the Demotech rating does, and that 1.6% number, is responsive to the claims that they have had. So they're showing all of the companies that they rate against the actual exposure that they have shown, and they've been wrong 1.6% of the time. So that is real-world testing. That is them showing, we gave these ratings, and 1.6% of the time we were wrong, and one of the highly rated companies went under. So I don't know that you can necessarily argue that, you know, in a lot of cases. Now, I can argue that 1.6 is still too many, because their job is to predict that accurately, and if you're not downgrading them until the week before, absolutely that's a problem, and it needs to be better. But they're still a company that is important in the ecosystem. You still need them to be giving ratings to these smaller companies, because we just don't have any other options in the state. And we have to have some measure of, is this a financially sound company? It can always be better, and we need to hold them accountable and continue moving them forward. But we also need them to continue operating, because it is an important part of the ecosystem.
Yeah. It's interesting. Because if I grabbed any analyst off of Wall Street, they don't invest in this company.
Well, it's a privately held company, absolutely.
I understand, but if it wasn't, they wouldn't, because none of the safeguards are in place when you're making this representation, you know, out there, and there's no liability to them. I mean, you know, that's the other interesting thing here. They literally have no liability for their rating, because this is very subjective in nature. There's no objective criteria by which we do this by. And meanwhile, families are destroyed. I mean, just literally destroyed. And we wonder, you know, why we find ourselves in a debacle we find ourselves in. I mean, not that this is the only cause. I'm not trying to imply that. But this is one of many issues something needs to be done. I mean, somebody suggested, who rates the Raider? I don't know.
Yeah, and absolutely. Like I said,
you know, I know those publicly held companies like AM Best and the others, there's somebody rating them, right?
There's not actually. They're judged by in the same way that Demotech is judged, that when they get it, if they get it wrong too often, then people lose faith in them and they'll go to one of their competitors. And that's, sure, that's the fundamental point here, is that you know, Demotech is operating exactly the same way that AM Best is and S&P is and all of those things. They've got their criteria and they evaluate on it. They're doing it on riskier business, so I would argue that it makes sense that they would be wrong more often. But to your point, they have to be right most of the time, and they have to be responsive quickly. And I agree that they failed at that in some of these storms, but I do think it's a little bit disingenuous to say that they're, an investor wouldn't invest in them, or that they're running bad business practice or any of those things, because I think that they are legitimately trying to do the best they can, but they're filling a market need that is very, very difficult to fill.
Yeah.
And they failed and they need to do better, but they're doing a pretty good job that on a very difficult risk. I think they're a legitimate business. I think that they are filling a legitimate need, and I think that they are trying to do their best, but you're absolutely right that there needs to be constant oversight. We need to be looking at them, and we need to be making sure that they are, evaluating regularly and objectively in some way and being responsive to the public, because my agents and their policyholders absolutely do rely on these ratings. And frankly, in a state like Louisiana, more than we wish they would, because we just don't have the capacity from the big players that are less likely to go insolvent.
Absolutely. And that's fair enough. Ben, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your approach, your honesty to these subject matters. Thank you so much and have a great week.
Thank you.
That's Ben Albright, CEO, Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of Louisiana. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line.